Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, around the world, we have unity this morning with men and women in every country, speaking every language, singing all kinds of different songs, but singing them in the spirit from their heart. And we're all focused on one person. We're all focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And I want to share my own confession of faith, very similar to the one that Michael just shared, because there's a core truth that we all hold dear. And again, around the world, men and women and children could say these very things. We believe that Jesus came to this earth born of a virgin. We believe that he grew up to become a man. And that in this life, he lived the only sinless, perfect, unblemished life that anyone has ever lived. And even though he had no sin, he willingly gave his life and went to the cross and died for your sin and for my sin. And he lay in a grave. And on the third day, through the Spirit of God, God raised Jesus from the dead. And he appeared to the 11 apostles. He appeared to hundreds who were eyewitnesses who saw him and touched him and heard him. And then 40 days later, he ascended back to the Father. And at this very moment, he is at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. That is the gospel. That is the good news that the church sings forth on this Sunday, on every Sunday, and on all the days in between. This is what we believe. This is what we have staked our life on. This is who we have put our faith in. And so I am thankful that you are here this morning. And I encourage you with full hearts, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all that you are, to worship and praise and celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. Had a flood of memories come back to me just a moment ago. I kind of wasn't prepared for them. Wendell sang, or you sang, Wendell led, "He Lives." And my pops, my daddy's daddy, was a song leader at the Livingston Church of Christ. And that's the song more than any other that I have a memory of him leading and singing. He and I were about the only tenors in the church. That's the way tenors like it, by the way. And boy, we would sing out and ring out on that song, "He Lives." And I am so, so thankful for the heritage of faith that God blessed me with. I'm thankful for those of you who God blessed you with that same heritage of faith. Folks who've gone before us, if you don't have that blessing, you may get to be the one who starts it in your family. So then in a couple of generations, somebody else will stand before a church or share around a table and give thanks for you. But I'm thankful because he lives. I believe it with all my heart. He lives. I'm a witness to what he has done in my life. The assurance and the blessing and the victory and the confidence and the salvation, the hope that I have, because Jesus Christ is alive. See, the resurrection changes everything. Changes everything. It's what prophets were given a glimpse of. And what they told about. One of them in Isaiah wrote this about what Jesus would do. Looking ahead, he said, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Some versions, instead of saying beauty to ashes, one version says flowers for sorrow. And so this morning, we're going to have an opportunity to participate in a visual symbol, a visual reminder of the fact that because Jesus rose from the dead, that truly we trade flowers for sorrow. And so we're going to participate in what's called the flowering of the cross. And hopefully, many of you brought flowers or brought greenery of some kind. If you didn't, we have two vases here. And they're not there to look pretty. They're there for you to take a flower. Because we want everybody to participate. And let this be just one way that we share in what God has done to move from the cross to the resurrection, to move from death to life, to move from darkness to light, to move from mourning to joy, to move from sorrow to flowers. We're going to begin in just a moment to sing a number of songs. And I'll just ask you, at whatever time you decide to get up, just to come forward to begin to place your flowers on this cross. When we've done this before, it's happened in a lot of different ways. Sometimes people just end up standing up around here and just watching as others come. Sometimes you can go back to your seat, you can watch, but just use this time. Let this be a visual impression on you and on your faith as a way to celebrate what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ. It never grows old, does it? Every year, I'm just amazed at the transformation that happens before us and the stark and dark and brown and ugly wood and chicken wire. But it's transformed into something beautiful and fragrant and vibrant and full of life. And that's always the direction that God moves. Always the direction that God moves. He always moves from death to life. It began in Genesis 1. And the image in Genesis 1 is of darkness and lifelessness and chaos. And yet over that, the Spirit of God hovers. And into that, God speaks, and there's light, and there's life, and there's creation, and there's color, and there's fragrance, and there's sound, and there's beauty. That's the way it begins. It ends that way as well in Revelation. That Jesus, through his victory on the cross and his resurrection, through the moving forward of the kingdom of the church. It all culminates in a day when Jesus will return, when he will come again. And in that day, God will make everything right again. And he says, I am doing a new thing, a new heaven and a new earth. God always moves in one direction, from death to life. So I invite you this morning to put your faith in that God. I invite you this morning to renew your faith in that God. Be like the father of all of those who are faithful, Abraham. It says in Genesis, it repeats it in Romans, it says it in Galatians, that Abraham believed. And because Abraham believed, God counted him as righteous, as right. God credited to his account righteousness. But I ask you, what did Abraham believe? In what was Abraham putting his faith? Just hear as Paul writes about that. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write about Abraham. And he said, so the promise, and the promise is Jesus. So the promise is received by faith. It's given as a free gift. And we are all certain to receive it if we have faith, like Abraham. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That's what the scriptures mean when God told him, I have made him the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and creates new things out of nothing. Abraham believed. Do you hear that? This is long before Jesus actually fulfilled that belief. Abraham believed in his day and in his time and in his life and in his circumstance. He believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. And because of that faith, God gave him righteousness. Even when there was no reason for hope, Paul goes on, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. See, that's the death to life that Abraham was believing in. God had made a promise to him. I'm going to give you descendants. Your descendants are going to be like the stars in the sky, the sand on the shore. You'll be the father of many nations. And yet Abraham was as good as dead. But he believed that even as good as dead, God would bring life. And here's what it goes on to say. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger. And in this, he brought glory to God. You bring glory to God when you put your faith in him, when you renew your faith in him, when you let your faith in him grow, you bring glory to God like Abraham did. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. And because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins. He was raised to life to make us right with God. And so I invite you this morning to share in the faith of Abraham, to share in the faith of those who've gone before, to share in the faith of those who will come after, because Jesus is alive yesterday, today, and tomorrow for every generation. I invite you to renew your faith. I invite you this morning to let your faith grow, to expand your mind just a little more, to expand your heart just a little more, to expand your belief and your faith just a little more this morning, that the God who promises is able to do what he has promised. Faith is this from Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. Abraham had confident assurance that what he hoped for was going to happen because of God, even though he was as good as dead. Hebrews goes on to tell us that faith is what pleases God. Believing in him and believing in what he has done and will do, when you have that kind of faith, it just pleases God. It puts a smile on his face. And faith is necessary for salvation. To believe that God exists and that he will do what he says he will do. I've already said to you this morning, I believe. I have put my faith in Jesus. I renew my faith in Jesus today. I invite you to do the very same. To let this visual, beautiful reminder encourage and feed and nurture your faith this morning. We're going to sing a song that we've grown to love as a congregation. We have come this far by faith. As we sing it, for those of you who are men and women of faith, just decide again today that you believe. That you believe what Jesus has done on the cross and at the grave that he will do and is doing for you. That you believe that he said he's coming again and you're waiting for that day. And if you have never put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the verses I read began by saying it's a free gift. Literally, Jesus has paid the price for the gift. He extends it and offers it to you this morning. All you have to do is decide. However much faith you have this morning, all you have to do is decide, I believe. I'm going to put my faith in God. And then just let him and us nourish and encourage and feed that faith. I'm going to walk to the back. If you decide you want to do that this morning, come back there and we'll pray and we'll talk about a next step of faith that you can take. Whatever it is on your heart, in your mind this morning, let's just stand and remind ourselves that we have come this far by faith.
We've come this far by faith. He's never failed me yet. Oh, we can't turn back. We've come this far by faith.
By faith.
Oh, we can't turn back. We've come this far by faith.
We come this far by faith.
Leaning on the Lord, we're trusting in his holy word.
He's never failed.
He's never failed me yet. Oh, we can't turn back. We come this far by faith. Oh, we can't turn back. We come this far by faith. Oh, we can't turn back. We come this far by faith.
Please be seated.